Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Isaiah. We're in chapter 40. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
Who hath measured the waters of the countless mountains and meted out the heaven with a span? And comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? And I won't go much further, but the key here is the word counselor, verse 14, with whom took he counsel. The idea of counsel, and his counsel is amazing. And what was his counsel? His counsel involved putting the mountains in place, putting the heavens in place, putting everything in order. Who had that going on? I say to you, you can be encouraged this morning, you can be comforted this morning, because God is in control. The heavens are completely in control. He's on the throne. Nothing down here to worry about. God is in control. If push comes to shove, he will be there for you to give you the grace to face whatever you must face. And it won't be easy at times, but he will be near at all times. And the Bible says in verse 12, he measured out the waters in the hollow of his hands. He comprehends the dust. He comprehends the dust. The Bible says he took no counsel with anybody. With whom, in verse 14, would he have taken counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment? He knows how to make everything work and not run into each other, you know? Man, I have a hard time, you know, getting dressed in the morning, you know? I remember one day I went out and I was in the store out there at Sam's Club picking something up. Had my tie on, and my collar was literally up. And nobody told me. I'm walking around town like, I can't get myself dressed sometimes. God takes care of the courses of the stars and of the moon and of even those little comets that come around that you can bank on. He's in charge. And he orders it and orchestrates it perfectly. His counsel's good, and he constantly is telling you it's good. The Holy Spirit is involved in all of the machinery of life, and everything's going according to plan. A plan that he would give man free will and allow him to diminish this world to the point where he has to step in at the breakneck moment and deliver Israel. Because, you know, Israel is the grand illustration that there is a God in the heavens. And they are the grand illustration on earth that that's true. Because they should not exist today. 70 AD to 1948, plenty of time to water that thing down. Couldn't do it. God held them together. God gave them a DNA that would not let go of the fact that they needed to remember who they were and who their God was. And even if they're secular Jews, they say, I'm Jewish, but I don't practice. They're angry. They're frustrated. Their nose are to the wall. They don't want to look at him. They're liberal, many of them, because they feel like, man, we've had Hitler and we've had terrible people trying to destroy us, and they're angry about that. But they need to recognize that even though Hitler tried to do that, he could not, because God helped them. That's what they're going to see. They don't see it. They're angry. It's like being bitter against somebody who did everything they could for you in spite of yourself. Look at this. Verse 15 says, but the nations. And that's where we are today. Right now, we've got a, you know, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing going on, don't we? Psalm 2. Well, the nations are as a drop of the bucket. You know what that is? You pour out a bucket of water, you still got a drip on. You're not even thinking about it. You were just trying to get rid of the water. That little drip's nothing to you. You're walking it over here and setting an empty bucket down as far as you're concerned. The Bible says the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Think of that, the balance. It doesn't even register on the balance, the dust. A little dust on the balance. It says that they are counted as small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Revelation 16 says, and the islands fled away. He taketh it up as a very small thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn. Remember the cedars of Lebanon? In other words, all the wood in Lebanon is not sufficient to burn for a burnt offering. All the nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. And when you talk about vanity here, it literally means confusion. Why are they counted as vanity? Because they are confusion. You know, the nations want to bring forth a one world government, a global system. America has been what you might call the crown jewel of humanity. We took everything the Israelites brought down the pike and kind of fumbled the ball at the finish line. They didn't get it across the goal, right? So we as God's people picked that thing up, and we're like, I can't believe they missed it, but hey, this is great. And we began to love on Jesus and really be persecuted for 2,000 years now. All the time, everybody's trying to wipe out the church, you know. You got the Colosseums, you got the Inquisitions, you got all kinds of stuff going on. But God's people are just marching to Zion. That's what we're doing. Because we get it, we saw it, we loved it, we wanted it. And the Bible says that God uses us to provoke the Jewish people to jealousy. But nevertheless, what was going to come forth? God knew. Confusion. And the Bible says about this word vanity, it has the idea of formlessness and confusion. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that they do those things which are not convenient. They won't work. They won't work. Like I mentioned this, the first thing that communist groups do when they fully get charged, they take out the people and shoot them. They take out the people who were their dupes, and shoot the people who were their helpers to get in power. Why? Well, because they could be their worst enemies. And I say this because I want you to know that the people that are involved in this thing do not realize. If you're homosexual, they throw homosexuals off of buildings. If you're a female and you're a feminist, they take feminists and they say, you put on a mask all the time, and you can't drive unless the husband says so. This is the world that they're saying is great and we love and we want to embrace. And I'm telling you, when you get into the radical sides of all of these things, when that rattlesnake begins to reveal itself, its bite is desperate and deadly. All nations before him are as nothing, and their vanity as far as he's concerned. To whom then will you liken God? So I say to you that verses 12 through 17, his counsel. He looks at the nations properly. You and I need to look at them properly. He's the one who put the world in space, and he's the one who put it all together. He's the one that holds it all together. He's the one that feeds the animals and even cares about the animals. Remember in Jonah, the Bible says Jonah was miffed because God wouldn't judge Nineveh. Yeah, and there it is. You know, he's like, I knew you were so nice. You were so nice. God said, there's 100,000 or so people that don't even know the right hand from the left. We think that probably means children, and plus much cattle. He cared about the cattle. The Bible says in verse 18, starting from his counsel as an encouragement, it shows us what he contrived, what God brought to be, what God thought of. You know, sometimes you need to contrive a plan, you know, to get out of trouble. If you're in trouble, you have to contrive a way through. Or contrive something to do a hard job easier. And so I say it's his contrivances that we can be encouraged. Because the Bible says in verse 18, to whom will you liken God? What likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it with gold, and casteth silver chains. The only thing they can do is cast something. You know, die casting is the idea. They would smelt some metals and they'd pour it into a cast. That's all they can do. You know, it's all they got. and people worship it. Do you know your car is a contrivance? Did you know that? And some people worship the car. I saw a nice looking, I think it was probably about a 68 or 69 Camaro the other day. I thought, that's pretty cool. I even went a little slower. Because it wasn't a 67. I would have stopped for a 67. But the 69 was pretty cool. They got a little carried away with the length, you know, and all that. But now we're talking a 67. I had one of those when I was a kid. I paid $35 for it. Never mind. I'm going to move on. We'll tell you the story sometime. Here we have these things. They're just cast. They're just built. They're just knocked together. Moving stuff around they didn't make, that God made, and making it into something else. And we take great delight in that. But the contrivances of God, well, they're something altogether different. He says of these people that the workman does something, verse 19, the goldsmith does something, and then they give it to the impoverished man who chooses a piece of wood because he wants a god. Everybody wants something to worship. And you know what's funny is because we live in the 21st century, we think we're not idolaters. Do you know what an idol is? It's defined in the book of Ezekiel. It's whenever you put something in front of you that comes before God. That's an idol. If it's more important to you than God, then that's your idol. And you've said, that's what I'm going to do first. That's what I'm going to love more. That's what I'm going to give my life to excess. No, it says in verse 20, he that is so impoverished chooses a piece of wood, and he seeks out one of those workmen to do his image making. He says in verse 21, have ye not known, have ye not heard, hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth that stretcheth out the heavens. That's who he is. That's his contrivance. Listen to this. It says he stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Not only do we have in this verse alone the fact that the earth is a circular object, it is not flat, it is round, but we also have here that it's like a tent. Because if you go too far up, you're going to be in a really bad place. It's like a vacuum and it's freezing and it's not hospitable to light. There's no reason we ought to be here. We are the favored planet because God made a tent over this piece of dirt, and we stand in a tent running around saying, man, this is pretty cool. We're flying through space at a bunch of miles an hour. I can't tell you. I don't memorize those facts. But they tell us, and we're spinning, and we're not flying off. What's that all about? It's crazy. But God's contrivances boggle the mind. A curtain and a tent. Amazing, right? You can be comforted in knowing that. The Bible says, have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told to you from the beginning? Have ye not understood? And of all people that should have understood it, it was the Israelites, because they were the ones that were given the Sabbath day, that on 6 days God created the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested, not day ages. You know how I know that? I know that because the Bible tells us that Jesus came from a line that goes directly back to Adam. And God lays his whole reputation out for inspection. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be as wool. The Bible says, this is the God who sits upon the circle of the earth. He's the one that gives us a tent to dwell in down here on this ball of dirt. Makes it as a curtain, keeping us shielded from sun and inhospitable, even meteorite pieces that come through. The Bible says it is he that not only does that, but verse 23, that brings the princes to nothing. Now, that's what you need to hear today. I don't care who's in the White House. God's on the throne. And he brings these people to nothing. You want some comfort today about the nonsense that's going on in our world and about that which is on the horizon that we can postulate is coming our way soon? The Bible says that God brings the princes to nothing. He maketh judges of the earth as vanity. You know, Nancy Pelosi has already submitted her letter to solicit the position of being the Speaker of the House for another 2 years. There's a little bit of a fight on the battleground there in this House, but do you know she's 80 years old? 80. That's amazing, isn't it? Think about that. She was born in 1940. And this woman looks like maybe 50 because of all of the surgery she's had. And she acts like a giddy cheerleader kid on the high school thing. Oh, you know, and we got the 25th Amendment, and just stick around, or 24th Amendment. We'll get Trump, but literally they're going after Biden. Get rid of him, and then you've got Kamala. Oh, dear Kamala. If this happens as we see it coming, it could be really bad. The Bible says, though, that God brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. They shall not be sown, they shall not take root, and he also shall blow upon them, and they shall wither. No matter how much surgery one has, everyone's going to wither. And that answers directly back up to verse 6, where the Bible says, cry out to my people, what shall I cry? The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.